Good evening. Good evening. We're grateful for the God of heaven blessing all of us that are present to have the right use of our faculties this afternoon. And we appreciate Brother Kevin Smith and his good wife, Sister Tammy, their kindness, their compassion, their generosity that they have shown towards us throughout this week. And we're appreciative of the Lincoln Church of Christ, the congregation, and you're supportive of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will ask you to continue to pray for us as we pray for each and every one of you all, that God will enable us that we might continue on doing those things that are in harmony with his will. As I said last night and throughout this series, I'm just a servant of the Lord. And the objective, the goal, is to declare nothing less, nothing more than the word of God. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. The prophet Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then he goes on to say that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The theme is salvation and the church. The subject tonight, a need to seek God. Man is a seeking being. All men are seeking something, be it a job, a mate, a cure for some ailment or disease, or friendship, and even peace. The most worthy object for anyone to search for is God. There is no seeking that deserves more careful consideration or that brings greater reward than the seeking that brings one to God. He may be found by all who seek him if they seek him in the right way. It is not enough simply to seek him or seek for him. We must seek as directed by God's holy and divine word. Multitudes are seeking for God, but they are stumbling in the dark as they ignore God's directions for finding him. For God has directions whereby he may be found. The need to seek God implicitly acknowledges humanity's inability to effectively resolve a dilemma. And what is that dilemma? The guilt of sin and its consequences. Admitting the existence of God, which many refuse to do, is at the base. Vindicates the concept of objective morality. God has a moral standard that is applicable or that should be applied to each and every soul that is born in this world. See, humanity's struggles in this merely revolves around the desire to be the standard of right versus wrong rather than accept the independent measure that is God's standards or that which should be applied to our each and everyday life. Isaiah chapter 59 in verses 1 and 2, the prophet Isaiah says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy that it cannot hear. But the problem is that your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. If we abide in sin, then God will not hear us, neither will we be saved in our sins. See, but one has the ability to seek God. God has given all of us the same ability to seek him. See, the one to whom we seek is omnipotent being. Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 14. The Lord asks, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. He tells Abraham and Sarah that she shall have a son. Remember, Sarah laughed in the tent, and then she tried to deny that she had laughed. If there's anything too hard for God tonight, God can save all that's willing to seek him the right way. Not only that, but the book teaches us in Job 42 and verse number 2, it says, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. God can do any and everything. He has the power to save. He is an omnipresent being. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 27, Solomon said, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, much less this house that I have built. He's talking about the temple that was built. God came down to dwell spiritually in the temple, but God cannot be contained in the temple. God is everywhere present. How you know, preacher? Psalms 139 and verses 7 through 10. Whither shall I go from thy presence or thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, he said, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God is everywhere present in our lives. He's waiting for us to seek him. He's omniscient. He's an omniscient being. Psalms 147 and verse number 5, great is our God and of great power, his understanding infinite. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 13, the book says, neither there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, for all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees, knows all things tonight. The idea of need signifies an essential, something that we cannot do without. By interposing this word between man and God, we describe a relationship in which someone else, and that someone is God, is able to do for us something that no one else can do. God is the only somebody that is able to save us through Jesus Christ. But we must seek him. We need to seek God because the alternative is what we study about in Judges chapter 17 and verse number 6 and Judges chapter 21 and verse number 5. In those days there was no king, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's almost we're living in that generation or that time, that frame of mindset today, where people want to do what is right in their own eyes and have no idea that they're going against God's will. We need God because he objectively defines good and evil by virtue of his character. Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 25, the Bible said that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. Abraham asked God, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? That be far from thee to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God has always done right by us as his people. God has blessed America, but has America honored God in all aspects of life? We need God because he ensures ultimate justice for all in the earth. Psalms 96 and verse number 13, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. He's not judging us according to our feelings, our opinions, but he's coming to judge in the person of Jesus Christ and judge according to righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, Paul said, I charge thee, but therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the living, and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. Do something, Timothy. Paul charged him to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We have a generation that will not adhere to what God says, even though they need to realize that God is the one that we need to render service to and obedience to. See, we need God because man, however highly motivated, is imperfect and inconsistent. If we're going by our own standards, man is inconsistent. Even though he is highly motivated to strive to do certain things, he's not always striving to do the right things according to God's will. Ezekiel 28 and verse number 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Babies are not born sinners. But when a person reaches the age of accountability, they must seek God. They must understand that God must be sought. His way of life must be sought. His commandments must be sought and obeyed. Existence without God is an existence without hope, without purpose, or without reason. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. We refer back to Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, his unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and that he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55 and verse number 6. Isaiah recognizes the responsibility of all men to seek God. Call upon him. We again face that man must do something to obtain God's pardon. God revealed himself through nature. Psalms 19 and verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20, Paul again emphasized that what God has created, it bespeaks that there is a creator, that God exists. While this is an incomplete knowledge of God, it allows man to know that God exists. When we act like God does not exist, we do a disservice to our souls. God is a reality. He does exist. See, as Paul spoke to the Athenians, he showed that God, through creation, gave man the responsibility to seek God, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 27. In seeking God, we must call upon him. And it is true that only those who call upon God will be saved. Acts 2 and verse number 21. Under the gospel system, how do we call upon the name of the Lord? It is through learning of God. We've got to learn about God and the salvation he offers through Jesus Christ. Accepting the evidence given, have faith in him, repenting of our sins, and being baptized into water for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2 and verse number 14. Acts 2 and verse number 38. Acts 22 and verse 16. Romans 10, 12 through 17. It is man's responsibility to seek God, not tomorrow, but right now. For he says, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee, I have helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Acts 2 and verse, or rather 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. While God may be found now, there is a time coming when it will be impossible for man to find God. Because see, death could come. If death does not come, then something could happen to us mentally, to our faculties, to our ability to reason or to think, to understand, to comprehend. And then it would be too late. While God may be found now, there is a time coming when it will be impossible for man to find Jehovah. It may be that man will become so hardened by sin that he cannot come to Christ. When we dilly and dally around and play around with our time, not realizing that when we have the blessed opportunity to assemble, we need to do so. Because we don't know when health should fail. We don't know when a day should come that we are tripped up by sin. We don't know when time in this life shall be no more. For the book teaches us, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can lose our ability as well as our opportunity. James chapter 4 and verse number 14, James teaches us that what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Life is brief. Life is short. Others may lose control of their reasoning power, thus rendering obedience impossible. No one knows the time of his death. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24 to 25, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. What's going to happen? The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. When the gospel is preached, we need to take advantage of that opportunity to render obedience to the gospel. When death comes, it would be too late to seek for God. Jesus may come at any time. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 36, Jesus said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Yet we find those who are given predictions. The Lord's coming 2025. Nowhere in the scriptures does the scripture give a date when the Lord's going to return. Nowhere in the scripture that the Lord predicted that he would return, and it would give us a sign of when he's going to return, because as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were marrying, giving in marriage, building things. Life went on until the flood came and took them all away. There is no sign of the end of time. Someone said, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. But the end is not yet. Well, they misunderstand that the application is applied to the fall of Jerusalem. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a sign concerning the fall of Jerusalem. You can flee the city. Here are the signs. But concerning the end of time, when he shall come back and judge the world, there will be no sign given. Matthew 24 and verse number 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord does come. We don't know what hour the Lord will return. So we need to be watching and be ready for his return. Matthew 24 and verse number 44, therefore be ye also ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. When we are having a good party, good time, that's when Jesus could return, and you'll hear the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall arise. Not only the dead in Christ, but all the dead. John 5, verse 28 and 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, which all that in the grave shall hear his voice. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. We know that there will be a day of judgment, a day of accountability. So therefore, we should not squander the opportunity to be in the service of God, to be in God's presence, giving him praise, seeking him and finding him, because we don't know when it could be our last opportunity. Isaiah 55 and verse number 7, we now notice what God says is necessary to seek him, the encouragement to do so. The wicked, the unrighteous, literally means man of iniquity. Man must do two things. He must forsake and he must return. He's got to forsake sin and return to God. Forsaking. He must forsake his ways. Paul teaches that we are by nature children of wrath. We have become such because of the way we walk or the way we live, acting which by long habit has become nature. Other words, we have been used to sinning over and over and over and over again. It's become natural for us to sin and to abide in sin. Therefore, we must forsake our sinful ways and return to the Lord. Where in time past, Paul says, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh and the children of disobedience, among whom also we also had our conversation or our manner of life in time past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. God teaches that in seeking him, we must quit walking in the ways of the world. We've got to quit walking after the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. Quit walking after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And that's the only way we can start pleasing God. To forsake our wicked ways, one must completely abandon his evil thoughts. Somebody says, I never thought anything evil. You've never had an evil thought in your life? You've never had any type of thought on the highway, on the byways of life, in school, in the home, in the church building? You never had any type of thought that was an ill thought? Then you're perfect in every aspect. But I don't believe that's realistic. I believe we're all human beings tonight, and we've all had some type of thought that we have to ask God to forgive us of whatever we have let dwell on our hearts and our minds, and we have to repent within our being. I don't need to think such thoughts about various things or individuals because it's displeasing to the Lord. Solomon knew that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7. And this is why Paul would write, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Because all of us are subject to sin. To be transformed is to forsake the wicked ways of the world. This is accomplished by renewing of your mind. When we bring our thoughts in harmony with the will of God, then our lives will change. And no wonder Paul would instruct us to think on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things of good report. And if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, Philippians 4 and verse 8, think on these things. We have to work on ourselves. Somebody said, why are you emphasizing it, preacher? Because at one time when I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and I was a young babe in Christ, I liked to play basketball. And in playing basketball, instead of coming back for evening service, I was at the basketball court playing round ball. And I'll never forget, started dating my wife, and my father-in-law would ask me, said, you know, we have evening service. I said, yes, sir. Well, it'd be good to, you could see you more often. Well, he already knew I wasn't coming. I was Sunday morning only. And he gave me something to think about. So if you're going to grow as a Christian, then you're going to have to be more committed to the Lord. And don't follow the examples that you see others set before you that are slothful, slack, and unconcerned. But be concerned about your own soul first before you be able to help encourage somebody else in the salvation of their soul. And I took heed to that, and I also took heed to the responsibility to giving, because I was working at the time, and I was putting in a dollar. And I was making more than a dollar a week. And he taught me about giving at the table. He said, you know, the Lord has given us heaven's best, Jesus Christ. And we need to give back to God if we've been blessed to prosper. And it's more than just giving on Sunday morning, but you got to give God your time, your energy, your service, your efforts. And he did it in such a lovely way that I couldn't get mad. I had to thank him, because there was a time or two that my grandfather was living in Crotherville, Missouri, or Missouri, as it's pronounced here. And I would go to Crotherville and to check on grandfather And grandfather wasn't nothing wrong with it. When I got there, he just wanted some company. My father-in-law told me, he said, look, the Lord's service come first. I'm not telling you can't go visit your grandfather, but you need to make sure that you don't forsake God and put God first. Because God is the one that blessed you through Jesus Christ to become a member of the Church of Christ, where salvation is located. And he did it in such a kind way, I always reflect upon it from time to time, that I appreciate the loving, kind manner in which he instructed me to strengthen me, because he knew the environment that I came out of was a worldly environment. And sometimes we think that we should let sheep just roam everywhere. But sheep need shepherds. The great shepherd of the sheepfold is Jesus Christ. But they also need spiritual shepherds to guide and instruct them in the things that they're not going to get from the world, because the world has lost itself. Therefore, it takes patience, it takes long-suffering, it takes faith, it takes conviction to be able to teach, to instruct, and to uplift, and to encourage people to do better than what they're doing. But you got to speak the truth in love and in a compassionate-like way. The wicked must return to God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is not enough for the wicked to simply forsake their evil ways. One must return to God. One can turn from their evil ways without turning to God. And thus both elements, forsaking and returning, are necessary to receive the benefits God gives his children. We want to be blessed by God, and therefore we must do as he commands us. The one who comes to God forsaken and returning will receive God's mercy. God will pardon him. God has the ability to pardon all who come to him. God's grace is available for all. Titus 2 and verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, how we should live godly, soberly, and righteously in this present world. Christ died for all. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. When I understood, when I realized, I don't come to worship service to please the preacher or the members. I come to please my God and my Savior. He is my motivation for serving him. Because he came and died for me. It's got to be personal. In order for you to seek God, to seek him, it's got to be a personal thing in your life. See, if we love God, we will make time to spend time with him, spend time in his word. If we love God, then we will meditate on his word. It takes time to meditate on God's word. If we love him, then we will pray. And we'll take time to pray to our Father in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. If we love God, then we will sing praises, songs of praises, songs of gratitude, songs of appreciation. If we spend time expressing our love for him, we won't give any time for the devil. Time needs to be spent renewing our minds, renewing our hearts, renewing our souls. Jesus put it like this in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 20, 37 and 38. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we seriously seek God, we cannot seek the filth of the world and wonder why we don't feel clean and close to our God. We cannot seek the world and the things of the world and find God. We've got to be serious about seeking God and making him a priority. There has to be a change, a turning, and a seeking. We must turn from our wicked ways. Psalms 119 and verse number 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. Seek God with a whole heart. Psalm 63 in verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. God has the ability to forgive all sins, not some sins, but all sins. He has the ability to continue to pardon and forgive our sins, to come to God and receive his pardon. We must first believe in God. Do you believe in God? I know you do, because you would not be here tonight if you did not believe in God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Believe in his son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 and verse number 1. Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. Do you believe in God's plan that he has established? What plan is that? The plan of salvation. And that plan applies to everyone. You got to hear God's word. You're going to seek God, you got to hear his plan. Seek him by hearing his plan. So then faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Seek God by believing that there is a God. He is alive. Are you willing to repent of your sins? Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You must be willing to confess Christ as God's dear son, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and then put the Lord on in baptism, Acts 2 and verse number 38, Acts 22, verse 16. That's how we seek God and his salvation through Jesus Christ. But after we obey the gospel, after we're baptized, we got to continue to seek to do his will. Seek to serve him wholeheartedly. I pray, God, that I've said something in love and kindness, but the truth. Because it took me a minute to grasp and understand God wants some of my energy. He wants some of my time. He wants my efforts to be exerted in his service. He wants me to be committed and convicted, because the reality is that death is imminent. It's coming. So once upon a man to die, and after death, the judgment. It will be a reality. And if we look back in our lives and we see, well, we made the right decision, the right choices, we made God a priority. I have learned not to bear down when members are struggling. I've learned to be patient, because see, when I was struggling, God was patient with me. And I've learned to be prayerful with myself and prayerful with my brothers and sisters in Christ. When we all struggle from time to time, when I had struggles in my family, and all families have struggles. There are no perfect families. Even Jesus, Joseph and Mary, they went back and left Jesus in Jerusalem. Somebody said, well, you know, they were good parents, because they went back to try to find him. Yes, but they left him behind, thought he was in the company with everybody. No parent would go into Walmart and just walk off and leave their baby or their children without knowing they're by their side, unless they have greatly let themselves to be greatly distracted. And we all have been distracted from time to time. But in our day and time, it pays to keep your children close to you, because you got some evil people in the world which we live in. And they don't mind doing ugly things to children. That breaks my heart. May God bless us to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. God will show mercy. May God bless you.